The Haines Highway Reconstruction Project will start next year, and the Haines Chamber of Commerce grapples with the role of nonprofits. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. The Haines Highway Improvement Project has been a long time in the making, but with another hurdle cleared, the venture is moving forward. After years of studies and back and forth with agencies and the public, the Alaska Department of Transportation announced this week that final environmental documents are available for review. The first phase of the project is set to get underway by next summer. Haines Highway commuters will have to start factoring construction wait times into their daily drive starting next summer. The $100 million highway reconstruction will last for up to 8 years and will begin in 2017. On Tuesday, DOT, along with the Federal Highway Administration, released a 450-page final revised environmental assessment and the finding of no significant impact paperwork to the public.
Good news is, from the department's standpoint, it's been 12 years in the making to get this environmental document stamped and approved by the Federal Highway Administration.
That's DOT spokesperson Jeremy Woodrow.
So the first phase that we're going to move forward with is mile 3.5 to 12. Before we can do that, we need to get the core permit for the entire project, and this project covers mile 3.5 to 25.3 on the Haines Highway.
The first phase will likely take 2 summers to complete, with the remainder of the project construction scheduled up until 2023. Woodrow says the initial phase will go out to bid early next year. Around 90% of the development will be funded with federal highway money, while the other 10 will come from a state of Alaska match.
The first phase, 3.5 to 12, will be about $37 million for construction. That's the engineer's estimate right now.
The project brings the route up to 55-mile-per-hour standards, according to DOT, by widening the shoulders to 6 feet on both sides and realigning most sharp curves, allowing for safer passing. It will improve recreational access, replace the Chilkat River Bridge, and help stabilize banks along the section of the highway prone to mudslides during the rainy seasons. When the first environmental assessment came out in July 2013, the department received more than 255 comments about the plan. Many concerns arose about the potential harm to sensitive ecosystems along the highway. The agencies went back to the drawing board and came out with a revised assessment in the fall of 2015. That one got around 70 comments. Many of the concerns raised were the same, fears around the impacts to sensitive wildlife habitat.
So we've done 2 public comment periods. We have included those comments best of our ability as part of this finding of no significant impact that was just released today.
The documents outline steps taken to avoid delicate areas along the Chilkat River and in the Bald Eagle Preserve. For example, the number of realigned passing zones has decreased from the original proposal to cut down on disruption in the preserve and lessen impacts to eagles and the trees they nest in.
We were able to design features that met different user groups and the public's concerns, especially how it related to the natural environment with, say, the Bald Eagle Preserve, as well as the river habitats for returning salmon.
There was also an outcry for more plan alternatives, to which the agencies replied that they considered a wide range of alternatives and ultimately chose the revised plan they found to have no significant impacts. DOT sorted all the feedback it received over the past 2 public comment periods into categories. The feedback included a lot of comments touting the project as necessary due to safety concerns, and plenty that expressed a variety of concerns over harmful impacts.
We're confident that the department has made the changes that meets the public's expectations of being environmentally sensitive when we're going through with reconstructing this section of highway.
According to the assessment, the new plan will minimize the amount of clearing required adjacent to the Bald Eagle Preserve, and the department will conduct more environmental studies to address the potential impact to bald eagles in the affected areas. Adding more woody debris and vegetation around rock embankments along the river to replace lost fish habitat is also on the list of design tweaks. Woodrow says some adjustments might be made to the construction schedule for major summer events in Haines, especially the Kewaunee-Chilkat International Bike Relay. And while the comment period is up, Woodrow says questions about the project can still be sent to haineshighway@alaska.gov. The documents are available for review at the Haines Public Library and the Kluckwan Library, or find a link at khns.org. Calls to some members of the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve Advisory Council were not returned by press time. Whether nonprofit or for-profit businesses should have an equal voice in the Haines Chamber of Commerce has been debated for a while. This week, members will vote on amended bylaws that would clarify the role of nonprofits, allowing them to be members and vote, but not to serve on the board. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
Right now, chamber rules are unclear about who can join, who can be a board member, and why. That's according to Chamber Board President Kyle Gray.
And that's really what led into the whole nonprofit conversation, you know, which has been controversial in Haines.
Gray says it's undeniable that nonprofits contribute to the local economy, but the traditional mission of chambers of commerce is to advance the interests of for-profit businesses.
And say the Alaska State Senate or somebody from outside of Haines called the chamber office and said, hey, what does the chamber think about this? Really, the view that they're looking for is the business community.
So the fear, Gray says, is that if nonprofits are given the same power as for-profits, they could dilute commercial interests. He says it's more of a hypothetical worry, not something that's played out in reality. But there was one issue recently that this debate factored into. The Chilkat Indian Village applied for special environmental protection for the Chilkat River. That protection could impact Constantine Metal Resources' mineral exploration and a potential mine at its Palmer Project site north of Haines.
That's sort of been the elephant in the room when people bring that up.
Gray says the chamber hasn't taken a stance on Tier 3 protection for the river because it's so controversial.
They're sort of insinuating, the conservative people are, that the chamber should, you know, be pro-development and pro-business and are, you know, they don't always see the nonprofit sector of Haines having that mentality that development is something that we should be pursuing at all times.
How do you find a compromise between those who think nonprofits shouldn't have a role in the chamber at all and those who think nonprofits and for-profits should be completely equal? Gray thinks they've found an answer to that. The new bylaws would divide members into three different classes. For-profits count as primary members, nonprofits are community members, and people not representing a business are supporting members. All classes are allowed to vote in chamber elections, but only primary members, that's the for-profit representatives, are allowed to serve on the chamber board of directors.
We felt that that is the compromise.
Excluding us does not make sense.
Melissa Aronson is the president of the nonprofit Haines Friends of Recycling. Speaking for herself and not her organization, Aronson says she hopes the bylaws are voted down. Chamber board member Tom Ely agrees. Like the other eight board members, Ely represents a for-profit business, but he thinks nonprofits are such an important part of Haines, the chamber shouldn't limit their voice.
Nonprofits are businesses. They're just a different business structure, and they contribute millions of dollars to our economy. And I think that they should be able to be represented in the chamber just like any business.
But the majority of the current board members are in favor of putting some restriction on nonprofits' role. Scott Sundberg says it comes down to this.
The Chamber of Commerce is fundamentally made up and designed for-profit businesses.
Because of that, Sundberg thinks chamber decisions should be up to for-profit businesses. Gray says even though the bylaws diminish the role of nonprofits, he thinks it's the best solution considering the polarized opinions.
I mean, we think that it is fair for nonprofits to be in the chamber and to have voting rights, and we want their voice to be heard. We want to be as inclusive, but we also don't want to lose sight of what our overall mission as a chamber of commerce is.
The debate may be put to an end when members vote at the special meeting this week. It's Thursday at 6 p.m. in the Aspen Hotel Conference Room. You can read more about the amended bylaws at haineschamber.org. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories anytime on our website at khns.org.